What was your first job and what did it teach you? Because there's a lot of lessons we learned from that first job that we hold on to for pretty much the rest of our life. Jane Fisher is here, of course, because she left hotel rooms very clean after having worked in one, after having cleaned them up herself. How long did you have that?
Not for very long. So it was a holiday job for perhaps a couple of months. Mm-hmm. Then we did some travelling and then I came back to university and enabled myself not to have to work in cleaning hotel rooms after that. So
the one benefit I can probably say to the first job that you had over mine is yours wasn't customer facing. It was customer defacing in terms of what they did to the place, but you yourself didn't have to interact with customers, because in my brief stint in customer services working as a cashier, I can say I have never seen the worst of humanity more obviously and more plainly.
Tell me about some of the things you encountered.
Just entitled anger, arrogance, just the kind of... Here's what happens when... there's a story, in fact, that we did a few months ago now, I remember, where it was about how people misbehave with cashiers and people in customer services in, you know, fast food outlets and shopping malls and such. And the point of the story was it's quite often young teenage girls. Their first job, you know, maybe their second job, and they're starting out and they're being abused. People are throwing things at them. I saw some of that. I remember, like, I was a cashier at a bookstore in the university. You'd think this is the best of people.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't. It was horrendous. People would be angry if something wasn't on discount when they anticipated the discount, or someone threw a book, I remember, at another cashier and hit them in the head with it. And there's no private security at a bookstore. It's one of the most genteel places, supposedly. Yeah.
So I think that behaviour is shocking, and maybe the thing in common with both our jobs was seeking to provide a service for people. One of the very curious things about this job, which was at a hotel in Auckland, was that the people who cleaned the rooms were meant to take in an early morning cup of tea to people, whether they'd indicated that they wanted it or not. And quite often we got into the room and discovered they really didn't want the cup of tea. So that was a curious practice. I don't think that would continue.
1-300-222-774. What was your first job? Was it as customer facing as mine, or was it customer after effects as Jane's over here? We put the question out on Facebook earlier, and we've got a few responses already. Andrew texted in, Facebooked in rather, to say, worked in my father's shop serving customers and cleaning in a small country town. It was so boring, it made me very determined to go out of there and go to uni. That's an interesting one, working in the parents' business.
It is, because I think sometimes those can be difficult situations where we hear you're expected to do a lot but not necessarily remunerated. Mm-hmm. But perhaps it had what the effect that his parents hoped it would have, encouraged him to more education.
Well, but I remember there being resentment around that. Whenever a friend got a job in their dad's company,
it seemed too easy.
Yeah, it seemed too easy. But maybe it does force you to actually look for the harder path. Another one here from Anne, who says, worked in retail, interior decorating business, where I learned to quote on curtain making and carpet laying. But most importantly, I learned how important it is to be in a union. I was young and wasn't, and ultimately was grossly underpaid for several years. Yeah.
So that sounded like it was more than a holiday job. That was a sustained job where she had to do that. And obviously acquired some skills, but maybe you don't get at the beginning that strong sense of knowing what it is you should receive in mm-hmm. a workplace.
Well, you're just grateful at that point.
Unbelievably.
Right?
And any money feels like more money than you had before.
What did you spend your first salary on? Do you remember?
Well,
I remember mine, yeah.
Tell me. What?
It was, I bought a box of chocolates, Ferreros, because there was a girl I had a massive crush on, and I'd saved up the money. My first ever salary, I went out, bought the box, put a ribbon around it, gave it to her. She gave it back and said, "I think of you like a friend." I then took that box home. And my friends came over, my best friends, who were my friends, and they ate the box while I sat there whinging and crying. So, yeah, never forgot that.
That's a very memorable experience. I'm not sure that I can recall exactly what it was spent on, that first income, but even that modest amount of money does begin to give you a sense of autonomy and a capacity to decide how resources are spent or whether you're going to save it towards something. I'm sure it's a very valuable experience in all sorts of ways, apart from the money you earn.
So that's an interesting point. Is the money irrelevant? Is it more, you know, is it more about the work than the value of money that you learn?
Well, I don't think the money's irrelevant, and I don't think young people should be exploited. But I think you do acquire extraordinarily important skills of learning that you have to get along with other people, that quite a lot of what you do at entry-level jobs is rather tedious and repetitive, but you get further by doing it well than by complaining. You learn a little bit about hierarchies and where you fit in a hierarchy and how you manage that, I think.
And the ego that you have to put aside in those hierarchies as well. I obviously did not do a good job because I got fired within the first 6 months. Jeff from the Docklands, good evening to you, Jeff. How long did you last?
Sammy, I lasted 20 minutes in my first job.
20 minutes, Jeff? What did you do?
I got sacked in 20 minutes. Well, I was working at an ice rink and my job was to work behind the counter and pass out skates when people came in.
Mm-hmm.
That was my job. And then
seems fairly straightforward.
It seems like, but I took my girlfriend behind the counter. My boss was at the front reading our tickets, he didn't know.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, I was busy with my girlfriend in a passionate embrace.
Jeff, this is your first job.
I know.
And 20 minutes, Jeff.
I'm not handing out the skates, and eventually the queue's going out the door, so my boss comes to see why people are queuing up and they're coming out the door now instead of getting their skates and skating. And he bangs on the counter and I unlock lips long enough to to hurl an expletive at him. I didn't look at him.
Oh, you are remarkable.
Me.
Well, you know what, Jeff? I'm on his side. I'm sorry, but that you are quite possibly the worst first employee I've ever heard of. What do you do now, Jeff?
I work for myself because nobody else would have me.
Well done. You found your way. Life finds a way inevitably. Congratulations, Jeff. Thank you very much for that. Helen from Lilydale, good evening. What was your first job?
Hi, Sammy. My first job was in a butcher shop at 14, and I had the butcher who owned the business was a guy in his 60s, and he said to me, Helen, he said, I've got one lesson for you. He said, always look busy, otherwise I wonder why I'm paying you. And so he said, if you haven't got anything to do, wipe down the benches, and if they're clean, then just wipe them again.
Did you take that lesson with you after you finished your work
Absolutely.
In the butcher shop?
Absolutely. And I actually told our kids as well. And I own a business now, and I actually tell that story to our staff as well, because it's actually a really good lesson.
Wait, Helen, so you own a business, which means you've got people working for you now?
Yes, that's right.
And are they just pretending to be busy sometimes?
No, I don't think so. They're pretty good. What we try and do is share with them what we're trying to achieve with the business so that we get their buy-in, so mm-hmm. that you sort of get them motivated on, you know, by themselves. So, it works out. But it was a good lesson, very much so, at 14.
A really useful lesson. Thank you so much for letting us know.
Thanks, Helen.
No worries. Okay, thanks. Bye.
1-300-222-774. A few text messages as well. Sammy, my first summer job after leaving school was in security department at one of the big shopping centres. I learned that shoplifters come from all walks of life, wealthy and poor. It was eye-opening. That's an interesting one. Did you have to deal with going in? Is it your job when you worked in the hotels to kind of do the listing of what's being taken and what's left?
It was, but you have to remember, this was a long time ago, so there was a bit less provided in hotel rooms that people could take, but we were meant to
the
to
little bottles of shampoo and stuff, I'm sure, were there.
They were allowed to take those, but if they'd taken sheets and blankets and irons and other things, it would not have been popular. But I think it's very interesting to think about the skills that that person acquired, because I presume you'd have to learn how to observe surreptitious behaviour. People would attempt to, I imagine, try to obscure what it is they're doing, and yet he or she managed to observe that.
That's a good life skill for sure. Yeah. What was your first job and what did it teach you? Misha, we're asking you that. What was your first job and what did it teach you?
Oh, hi. My first job was working in an outdoor nursery. I had to start at 7 a.m. I got paid $2 an hour. I was 14 years old. It was great to get the money, but I was overseen by a very, very grumpy old man who used to give me a lot of advice in terms of how deep I needed to stick my finger in the soil to put the seeds and a range of other things. So it taught me never again to work for a grumpy old man.
Was that advice you needed, or was that, as the cool kids call it these days, mansplaining?
It was mansplaining. It was unsolicited, and you know, I was doing a pretty good job before he came along.
So,
and
Misha, tell us, how did you make sure that you could pick this before you applied for your next job?
Well, it's pretty hard when you work in a big organisation, because you never really know where you're going to end up in terms of supervisor and line management capacity. But if you're going for a job in the first place, understanding who you're going to be reporting to and what that person is like is a pretty key thing.
I think that's a very key message. Thank you.
Thanks,
so
Misha.
Much, Misha.
First jobs, that's what we're asking you. What was yours and what did it teach you? Let's go to Lola. Good evening, Lola.
Good evening. I was still going to school and started working Saturday morning for 85 cents. And the boss gave me a bit of advice and he said, if you don't know the answer to a question, do not lie, say you'll find out.
Oh, that's actually that's good philosophical advice.
And I've used it, I worked for 50 years in sales, promotional, marketing, etc. A lot of people working for me, and I always passed on that bit of advice.
Very nice. Can you repeat that for everyone in case they missed it?
Okay. If you don't know the answer to a question, don't lie, say you'll find out for them.
Thank you very much for that, Lola. We got Eric from Mitcham. Good evening, Eric. What is your first job?
One of my first jobs was as a student in a chicken egg factory. So the eggs, they came down a rolling band, and my job was to put them in boxes.
Where was this, Eric?
That was in another country, in the Netherlands.
Okay, and how long did you work there?
And the moral of the story is that I worked really hard, because they thought that this is another bloody student. It's going to be a lot of eggs on the floor at the end of the day. And then the next day, they showed me, you did really well. I have a different job for you. And I was very glad, because it wasn't a very elevating job. So in the next hall, they showed me this new job, and it was exactly the same, with the only difference that the band was going a little bit faster, so people had to work faster to get the eggs in the boxes.
What was the lesson you took home from all of this experience?
Well, there's two ways you can go. You can either say, don't work too hard, because you get to do more work.
And the other lesson?
And the other lesson is, if people challenge you and you prove yourself, then you get a promotion.
Eric, one final question for you. Did you break any eggs?
Lots.
There we go. 1-300-222-774. We're going to keep this conversation going. We got a few text messages here. One says, my first job was a cash-in-hand dishwasher. Lasted 6 months after I quit because I hadn't been paid for 3 weeks. Lesson learned, hospitality sucks. And that's an interesting thing, the hospitality part, because another person's texted in to say, can you ask Jane to tell us some stories of bad behaviour at the hotel, please?
Oh, look, it was people making a terrible mess.
Define terrible mess. It must be more than just the sheets on the floor.
Vomit and pretty ghastly, uncleaned up mess.
Clothes bodily everywhere. Fluids.
Yes, right. Bodily fluids.
Let's leave it at that. All right.
I think also discourtesy, really. So a lot of treating a young woman going into clean with rudeness, discourtesy, not able to frame what they wanted in a polite way.
I wonder if that's changed. I wonder if it's still just as horrific in terms of the way people treat people in hospitality. Was your experience similar to Jane's? I'd love to know about that as well. Ryan from Eastlink, what is your first job, Ryan?
Hi, I was a basketball referee from about 14, 15 years of age.
You were 14 yourself?
Sorry, yeah. Started at 14, I think, and did it for about 20 plus years in the end.
We hear a lot of stories, Ryan, about people being very, very abusive and angry and disrespectful towards referees. What is your experience like at that age?
Look, it does happen. I think I've always considered that the higher you go in standard, the less abuse you cop.
Mm-hmm.
And you cop it less from the players on the court and more from the sidelines instead.
Were you given any training in this aspect of being a referee?
You do a beginner's course and are then buddied on court for a few weeks, and when they think you're ready to go, and they set you free, so to speak. And then as you progress, you do get further and further training.
Do you still do it at all? Are you ever called back out to a referee on the court?
Children get in the way now.
Oh, Ryan.
I miss it. I miss it terribly. Well,
is it a job you'd encourage your kids to do?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So I got conflict management skills out of it, communication skills out of it. And like the lady that rang before about not lying, a bit of accountability as well, because when you know you've made a mistake, you put your hand up. Sorry, mate, that was the wrong call. I'll get it right next time.
That's right. Otherwise, you're going to have at least 50 angry parents charging down at you anyway.
So incredibly valuable skills.
That's right. Thanks, Ryan. We got a few text messages as well. My first job, I was working at a Greek-owned fruit and veggie shop at 14. They introduced me to the delights of rabbit stew, spanakopita and ouza. I'm still working in food 20 years later, and I think this place laid the foundations for my food obsession. That's actually quite lovely.
It is. It was formative and encouraging and interesting.
A few more text messages as well. My first job was a field umpire for junior footy games. The fact that fully grown adults will loudly abuse a young teenager for not giving the 12-year-old's team a free kick lowered my expectations of humanity. And that's what I'm talking about. There is that that kind of giving up of any sense of optimism that happens at the end of that first job.
Yes, and I think what we're hearing about in some of these is that behaviour of that kind can be really very harmful to a young person in a first job where they don't feel they have much authority, and certainly in some where you're given no training about how to manage conflict or discourtesy of those kinds.
You think, I'd say a referee job and a customer-facing job, you definitely need a training period. It can't just be thrown into the deep end, because that deep end goes very, very deep.
I completely agree, and I think you also shouldn't be left on your own if conflict emerges. Somebody should be there who will step in to back you up and not to blame you. But I think from what we've heard, people are often cast fairly adrift and expected to manage these things solo.
Well, Harriet's texted in to say, I moved to Melbourne to go to uni and worked at Safeway on Smith Street. It was unlike anything I'd ever experienced before, and I learned so much about life. A great group of people who really helped me and looked after me while I adjusted to life in the big smoke. My big takeaway message was that you tell a lot about a person by how they treat the checkout chick.
It's absolutely true.
Right? 1-300-222-774. A few more text messages here. Some nice advice. Some advice I was given in my first job as a police officer. You can be nice and turn nasty, but you can never be nasty and then turn nice. That's good advice when dealing with difficult situations. What first job would you recommend someone go into now? It surely wouldn't be working at the hotel.
No, but I think if you are adequately trained and given some skills to deal with these situations, there are great benefits in working in some kind of service industry, customer service, hospitality, refereeing, because you acquire the interpersonal skills that we've heard about already, the capacity to perhaps manage conflict, manage differing opinions, to defend your own sort of entitlements in right. some ways. So I think they're probably not bad experiences.
There's one last one to say goodbye with, which is my first job in ladies' fashion shoes. Company greeting was, "Good morning, may I fit you?" As a 17-year-old male, it was quite embarrassing. After a week of others laughing behind my back, the manager decided to just say, "May I help you?" Thank you very much, Jane.
Thank you for having me.
Jane Fisher, Finkel Professor of Global Health at Monash.